You can't, Louis, you don't know where to.
So you can get a picture. Good thing.
Make sure say happy birthday. Say happy birthday. The church is.
Well, brothers and sisters, good morning. It's so good to see you all this morning on a very soggy morning. I tell you what, you all are very strong. You decided to get out anyway. We're so glad to see you all this morning. Just a couple of different things. Wanted to wish you all a very happy Memorial Day weekend. And for those of you all who have family, and friends who passed away while serving. We certainly want to think of you and pray for you all this weekend and for your family members. This, of course, is Pentecost Sunday. That's why we're all donned in red. It's a wonderful day, and we're going to celebrate that together. Today also, May 24th, is Aldersgate Sunday. And that was the day when John Wesley felt the Spirit move his heart. And it was a time when he really kind of became he was awakened to the power of God in his life. Charles, his brother, experienced that 2 days before that on May 22nd. So Charles was always a little ahead of John, I think. And then one other really couple of quick things today. I always love to keep you all aware and invite you to different things that are going on in the life of the church. Our church leadership's been working for quite some time to begin to have a part of our congregation have a Spanish-speaking service. And they have been meeting now on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock for a couple of months. And they are calling that their particular service Fuente de la Vida, which means fountain of life. So, and they are, oh my gosh, they're so much fun. They are just so much fun, so full of joy. And even if you don't speak any Spanish, I would just want to invite you to come and just sit with them and worship with them. They are so, so joyous, and they're part of our congregation. They are part of us, and we are part of them. And so it's a great way to brush up on your Spanish if you want to learn that. Also tonight we have evening service and our prayer service at 5 o'clock in the atrium. And we want to welcome you all to that as well. You might as well come because it's going to be raining outside. You might be inside and come to church. I want to invite you now to stand and greet your neighbor and share the peace of Christ with one another. Let's join together in prayer. Almighty God, pour out your Spirit upon us on this Pentecost Sunday. And Lord, we pray that as we worship you and Jesus, as you preach to our hearts, that we will be moved deeply in our own hearts, and that we will fall even more deeply in love with you, Jesus, that we will be inspired by your words to us, and that we will be changed by an encounter with your Spirit. And so do all of this work in us, we pray, with great expectation. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you are able for a call to worship. The Spirit descends like a dove, bringing peace to unite the world in a just and caring community.
Spirit comes like a breath, bringing life to the community.
The Spirit spreads like fire, bringing energy for witnessing to the love of God.
Spirit of the living God, come to us and transform our lives by your power.
The Holy Spirit is in this place, and if you didn't believe it before, look at those children. Oh my goodness. Thank you for sharing your gifts, children. Our Psalter lesson today is the traditional lesson for Pentecost Sunday. I invite you to read it responsively with me. Oh, how majestic are your works.
In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide.
Creeping things innumerable are there. Living things both small and great.
There go the ships and Leviathan whom you formed to play in it.
These all look to you.
When you give to them, they gather it.
When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed.
When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created.
And you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praise to my God while I have being.
May my meditation be pleasing to the Lord in whom I rejoice.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward again for a lesson with Miss Hannah.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for helping lead us in our worship by waving those streamers. What color were they?
Red.
Do you look around? Do you notice that a lot of people are wearing red today? Does anybody know why? Fire has something to do with it. Today's a really special day in the day of our church. Do you know what it's called? It's called Pentecost. Today we're talking about how the Holy Spirit came down upon believers and the church began. And guess what I brought with me today?
A red balloon.
A red balloon. No, I'm going to hold it right now. Okay. All right. Do you guys like playing with balloons?
Yeah.
You blow them up. Yes. So what is it that this balloon needs in order for it to be a real balloon?
It needs air. You have to blow it up.
You have to blow it up. It needs to be filled with air. We have to breathe a little bit of life into it like this, right? All right, there's a little bit. So I think that this balloon today could help us learn something about the church and about Pentecost. Okay, so I already explained to you that Pentecost is all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helped to breathe life into the church just like this balloon needs air to breathe life into it. Before Pentecost, people were not really living the true life of the church. Jesus had died. He had been crucified on the cross. He had risen from the grave. But people didn't really know what to do next, right? Oh, hold on just a second. After the Holy Spirit came down upon the people, it was like fire, which is why we use the color red to symbolize the day of Pentecost. People began being the church. They started telling other people about Jesus. They breathed life into the church like this. It didn't even matter if they spoke the same language. They were still able to share about God with others, the beginning of the church like this. And then those people that told somebody else about Jesus, guess what those people did? They went and told other people and started even more churches. And the church just got bigger and bigger. How far should I go with the balloon? All the way? Yeah. No, I'm not going to let it pop today. And the church just got bigger and bigger and bigger because the Holy Spirit was present. Now, you might remember that the Holy Spirit, can you tie it for me? The Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, which is the three parts of God. Do we remember what the three parts of God are? God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the
Holy Spirit.
See, we do learn things upstairs. We do, I promise. So what I want you to remember is just like this balloon needs to be filled with air in order for it to be a balloon and work the way it's supposed to be, the church has to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with life in order for us to be who we need to be as Christians. So it's our responsibility to pray to God and to let the Holy Spirit be a part of our life every day so that we can share the love of God with others and be the church. Because the church is not just a building, right? Do you have to be inside of church to be worshiping God?
Yes.
Or to tell other people about God? You do not. You can do that anywhere. So we are the church, and I hope that you can help me celebrate that today on Pentecost. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you that you breathed life into the church, and we thank you that the Holy Spirit is always with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go upstairs.
At Pentecost, we celebrate that what the prophets had so hoped for has come true. God dwells with us, fully, uninhibited. And yet sometimes we are afraid to embrace that in its fullness. And we build barriers to what God wants to do in our hearts, in our lives, and in our communities. And so as we confess our sins, we pray that God will break down those barriers just as he did through the Spirit in the early church. Let us pray together. Almighty God, you poured out your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace, speak the good news of your love, or live as a people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, and fill us with a flaming desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Glory to God. Amen.
As we continue in our time of prayer, I invite you to look at the words to the text that the men are singing, Holy Spirit, living breath of God. And I invite you to pray those words yourselves, even as you listen. Gentlemen. Thank you.
joy, peace, sing in all that do. Love enough to cover every sin in each heart and deed and attitude. Kindness through the greatest and the least. Gentleness that sows the path of peace. Turn my striving into works of grace, breath of God, show Christ in all I do.
The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have defeated sin and death and have ascended to the right hand of the Father, where you reign forever. And in your ascension, you bring humanity into the throne room of God, into the very presence of God, in a way that had not been since the Garden of Eden. And yet you did not stop there, Lord. You sent your Spirit to dwell with us as well. And so as we are in the throne room of God, represented by you, you have come to be with us. You've come alongside us to support us, to give us peace, and to give us power, the power of your presence. Lord, you have unified earth and heaven once more in the giving of your Spirit and in the work of your Son. The prophets for so long had so hoped that the root cause of Israel's continued lack of your presence, their disobedience, could be overcome, that you would transform our hearts, forgive us, and transform us into an obedient people who could walk with you perpetually. And on this Pentecost day, when your Spirit falls and Peter, your servant, is asked what is happening, he turns to the words of Scripture to explain it. And he says, "This is what the prophets have hoped for, that you, Lord, would cleanse our hearts and bring us into your presence." And this power is a power, Lord, a Spirit that unifies the church, that across the various boundaries and barriers that we humans put up between us, you overcome them all in the Holy Spirit. Languages that have separated us, you overcome them in the gift of tongues. The divisions that we place between male and female, Jew, Gentile, and even economic divisions like slave and free, you triumph over them all and lead us into unity as people of God, children of God, formed in your image and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live lives that reflect you in the world. And yet, Lord, we know that we do not always reflect you into the world. And we repent of the ways that we have failed to live into the promise and hope and power of Pentecost. And so we pray, as churches have for thousands of years, that your Holy Spirit falls fresh on us. That in this year of this new Pentecost season, that we sense the power of your Spirit afresh, that you calm our fears, that you grow the capacity of our hearts, that we begin to see in your Spirit, Lord, through your eyes, people that are lost, that are hurting, not as enemies, but as people whom you dearly love and call us to serve. Lord Jesus, unify us in our church and with churches around the world through the power of your Spirit. May we see in our day the same barriers broken that have always plagued us. Languages, race, gender, class. Lord, continue to break these barriers in our lives, that we may live through the power of your Spirit as your holy people. And in that unity with churches around the world, that your Spirit unifies through space and time and language and all things, we pray together just as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would now like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning offerings.
Almighty God, we offer ourselves to you whole and fully complete. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we also offer to you the treasures of our heart and our finances. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless them as well, so that they might be used for your kingdom and your kingdom alone. This we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Hear that rain? Whoa. So our scripture lesson today is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya and around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I might say that it may be raining out there, but it's not going to put out the Spirit of Christ in here. This is indeed Pentecost Sunday, and I have been so excited about this Sunday for quite a few weeks because, oh my goodness, this is really, truly where it happens for us. Pentecost, as you all well know, you've been going to church for quite some time, I would imagine, and you've probably heard several sermons on Pentecost from time to time, right? And you know that Pentecost is the birth of the church. We say that often, and that's true. It is. It's true. We also know that Pentecost is the time when the Spirit of God is given to the church and is a fulfillment of a promise that Jesus made to give the disciples or the apostles and the gathering of believers his Spirit to move among us. And that's all. That's right. It's all good. But let's go on a journey today and see where it takes us, because there is so much more to explore and know about what Pentecost means for us. Now, the first thing that we need to do as we set off on this journey and we board the train is we need to know that for Jewish folks, Pentecost, that festival for them, was a festival that celebrated two different things. One was the harvest and giving thanks to God for his abundant blessing in the crops and feeding them as a nation. The other thing, though, that Pentecost celebrated was the giving of the law to Israel from Mount Sinai. Now, this is really, really important to pick up on because it really does connect all of this together this morning. They were celebrating, they were gathered, all of these people from all over the place, and you did a great job pronouncing all those weird names. I'm telling you what, great job. That's the verse that there are the passage nobody wants to read in church. You did. Good job. So here they are. They're gathered from all over these different places, and they come to celebrate the giving of the law as Jews. And there they are, and then they hear this rumbling, powerful sound, and off they come. And they start coming, and they're trying to figure out what it's all about. And the Spirit of God did something really neat. First, caused awe among the people. And they even say, and I really think this is beautiful in the mother tongue of the New Testament, they're asking, what does this mean? What is going on here? But they also are asking, is this what we had hoped for? Is this what we had hoped for? And so there are always a couple in the crowd, right? And there are a couple in the crowd that said, well, they're just day drinking. And they're wasted. And Peter gets up, and he's very bold, and he says, are you kidding? It's 9 o'clock in the morning, people. And he's talking to them. And we didn't read it today, but the passages after what Catherine read this morning are Peter's sermon. And my goodness, it's a powerful sermon. It's so important to this day as well. And Peter basically, he says, we're not drunk. Instead, some other things are happening here, and he brings them back into the Old Testament, and he talks about Joel and this great hope of the people in Joel that the Spirit of God would come upon them. And you remember, it says, Joel says, their young people will have visions and will dream dreams, and there will be wonders in the heavens. And the grip and the horrors of death will be released. What a powerful word. And do you notice how much different Peter is 50 days later from Easter and the crucifixion? He's a very different man. The Spirit has been working on him. This is a man, remember, he was the one sitting by the charcoal fire the night before Jesus was crucified, denying, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. You look like him, though. No, I don't. To standing up boldly in Jerusalem and saying, look, our greatest hopes are being fulfilled, and God has given us his Spirit. Now, for some of you, please forgive me. I cannot help myself, but I just have to. There are some of you that love rock and roll. My brother Tom, I know Brother Tom over there loves rock and roll. Now, if you like English humor, you might have seen this movie too. There's this movie from the 80s called This is Spinal Tap. You remember that? And if you like kind of Monty Python, kind of weird, funny British humor, then you probably like this. But there's this part in the movie where the guitarist, basically this movie, if you haven't seen it, it's basically this, it's a movie about a fake rock band and how they're the biggest band in the world, you know. And there's this part in the movie where one of the journalists is interviewing the guitarist, and they go over to his stack of guitar amplifiers, and he's showing very proudly this journalist his Marshall amp over here. And he says, our amps are a little different than all the rest of the amps in the world. Our amps go to 11. Now, what you need to know is every other amp in the world goes to 10. But the guy said, the guitarist, he said, you know, when you need to just really push it over the edge and just get everything and anything out of it that you can, we just turn our amps up to 11. And the journalist was like, yeah, but isn't it just as loud as 10? And the guitarist kind of stood there for a moment with a puzzled look on his face, and he said, yeah, but 11 is one more than 10. It's louder. Pentecost is turning up the amp to 11. It's taking it far beyond what we could ever want. For those of you that have not seen the movie, it's like turning up your stereo or your radio all the way up so that it's clear and it's blasting and you're immersed in the sound of the music all around you. Now, in order to experience the fullness of what God is giving us as he's turning everything up to 11, I want to take you on our journey back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3 for just a moment. And you know the story well from your time as a child in school or in Sunday school. Adam and Eve, they're created. And they are living in this idyllic paradise with God. There were a couple of rules, of course. There were two trees. Do you remember those trees? One was the tree of life, and the other tree was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they were not supposed to eat from these trees. That was the rules. That's the way it was. Here's the thing, though. There was a snake that wiggled its way up into that one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and started his little hissing around. And here come Adam and Eve, and they're drawn to this. And they have this difficult conversation, really, it is to see and read. And the snake is really doing quite a bit of lying. And eventually they take a bite and their eyes are opened. The tree gives them knowledge of good and evil. That naivete that they had, it falls away. And they realize all sorts of things like, I don't have any clothes on. But they also realize all sorts of other things as well. They're able to discern, like you all are able to discern. What is evil? We know, we recognize that. What is good? What is holy? What is of God. Now, here's where it really gets interesting. Remember, I was saying that Pentecost for the Jews was a celebration of the giving of the law. And the law, as God gave the law to the people around Mount Sinai, it was to show them, it was to give them boundaries for a holy life. It's a little bit like when you go bowling, you know, when you're not really good at it, you push the button and those little things come up so you don't throw a gutter ball. Well, God doesn't want us to throw gutter balls in our life. And so he gave the Israelites these barriers for holiness. But here's the thing, and the Apostle Paul speaks about this in Romans, as a matter of fact. Paul starts to see something in this era that has been inaugurated by the Spirit. He starts to see how that serpent wriggled its way around the law as well. And isn't it interesting that the law and that tree both help us to be aware of what is good and what is evil? The problem with both of them, I think Paul would say, is that that big old green snake with its big old fangs wrapped around these things that are good. Well, neither the tree nor the law was able to kill the serpent. Death with its big old fangs. Maybe another way to describe the way that I think Peter would share with us, and certainly what Paul would share with us, is that the law that was given to the Jews, it showed us where the poison was that brought death. But it just couldn't remove the poison from our bodies. And only one person could do that. And Peter reminds us about that. He reminds the people about a different tree. And we've been talking about trees for sure. But he talks about this tree in which Jesus was nailed to and was crucified on, so as to take the fangs out of the serpent and to give a mortal wound to death itself. And Peter is talking about that. Rather, he's rejoicing. This is the new era in which we live. And we're going to see all of these different things. And we, as the people of God, the church together, we do not no longer fear death because it has been defanged and even been given a mortal wound. He talks about King David in the past. And he says, you know, King David can even say, my body is held secure cure in the hands of God because he will care for me. My bones will not turn to dust. I love it. There is, to continue with our rock and roll theme, the old ancient church, man, they were kind of rock and roll. And some of their art of the crucifixion, you know, they have Jesus up there on the cross, and we've seen that art before. And some of the art actually has a snake under the feet of Jesus on the cross. Snake will be trodden. And there's a big old stake going through the snake because death has been defeated. Resurrection power. Resurrection power. Peter says to us, the Spirit who gathers us together today on Pentecost says to us that we, the church, are this microcosm of resurrection power and life in a world that is very much oriented toward death. But here we are as a congregation, as a family together, and other churches around the world as well, where these microcosms of resurrection power together. And we are this wonderful testimony that the victory is won. We need not live a life in fear. We can live free. Pentecost is wonderful because, one, it shows us, because the Spirit comes, it shows us that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father in the courtroom of heaven. It's proof that that's where Jesus is. And think about how fantastic that is, that a human being, fully God, fully human, but a human being is sitting in the courtroom of heaven. You have a place with God. But the other thing is that snake, well, the best that it can do is gum us. It has no fangs. What do I mean by that? Well, when Emery was 1 year old, we were at our first church in Irving, Kentucky, and I found this little green garden snake or tree snake in the yard at Emery's birthday party, and I picked it up. I know I'm weird. And I took it over and I showed Julie and some of the other people at the party. And he's like, Julie was like, get rid of that thing. It's gross. And I wasn't afraid of it. I mean, it was pretty fun. And that poor thing was more afraid of me than I was of him or anybody else. And he bit me, but he didn't have any teeth. All the best he could do is gum me. And that's all that death has left. His fangs are gone. All he can do is just gum us. Oh, death, where is thou sting. The challenge for us, the challenge for me as a disciple of Jesus, is being reminded and not going back and believing that the snake still has fangs. And it's so easy to do that, isn't it? But it's days like this that we remember the truth of the gospel and we remember the promises of Jesus. And Peter is saying, the fangs, they're gone. Death has a mortal wound. Pentecost for the church. Now, this is the most important thing I'm going to say. Write it down if you need to know what Pentecost is all about. Pentecost is the day in the life of the church where we fully experience and participate in Easter because of the gift of the Spirit of life in us and in whom we have been drawn up to and in whom sits as our advocate in the throne room of heaven. It is done. It is finished, as Jesus said. Now, the thing about it is Jesus and Peter, they're calling us to live our lives differently now that we know all of this truth. Because Jesus climbed the tree and crushed the serpent. And the Spirit is given to us so that we might live in that way. There's one more tree that I want to remind you of as we go on our little journey, and it comes to an end, getting to the station at the end. There's one more tree I want to tell you about, and it's a really good tree. Do you remember in Genesis, I mentioned two trees, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the other one was the tree of life. In Revelation, right smack dab in the middle of Jerusalem and all of the people that are gathered around, all of the accompaniment of heaven, there sits the tree of life. The one thing that we were barred from in the Garden of Eden, we now will stand close to. Isn't that a wonderful future? Isn't that a hopeful future? One in such that we can stand like King David and say, my body, my family's bodies, my children's bodies are held secure because of the one who holds me. We will not fade to dust. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to sing your praises to this wondrous Lord that we celebrate this morning by standing and singing our closing hymn 539, O Spirit of the Living God. brothers and sisters in Christ, my prayer and my blessing is that as we depart from this hallowed sanctuary into a weary world, that you will know and will certainly take with you and take upon yourself the very promises of Joel, that this is a new era in Christ, a new era without the sting of death, a new era where the Spirit of Christ lives in you. May that fire burn in your eyes so that others might see it in you. I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.